Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we're diving into a Sunday strategy session. This is the next part of my startup draft. And I did a podcast last Sunday talking about the my potential strategy here, some of the things that we did. I'll just refresh your recollection. You can go back and listen to it. One of my goals was basically two top five quarterbacks, right? Two supermax quarterbacks. If I could get it, I was willing to trade up, non-first included in that trade. I was basically willing to do whatever it took to do that. Two tight ends inside the Goddard line was the goal. You know, hopefully a top five guy, thinking really in the Kelce Waller range. And Goddard was the ideal build, and then basically a couple of top 20 or so running backs was sort of the idea. If I get three of them, that was awesome. And then I had some room to play with, right, with one other guy in the top eight rounds. That's really how I viewed it. Maybe another quarterback, head start, wide receiver, and the like. I will say this: I think, as just a general reaction to this draft, especially in March, if you get the big parts right, that's a good portion to being competitive. There's a lot of stuff sort of along the other lines that you're going to have to fix and figure out. And even if you sort of, quote, get it right now, there's no saying that that's going to actually get it right by October standards, right? So that some of that does come into play here. For me, I drew 107. I was interested in moving up. I tried to move up. Didn't have a ton of success. I actually didn't have any success. There was one trade in the entire startup draft and I wasn't involved. So it has been pretty static, pretty stale. It became pretty obvious that no one wanted to move. No one was really taking a reasonable move down. And it was just, it was an interesting, I wanted to move up. No one really wanted to move down if it wasn't for a future first. I just said, screw it. And then when it sort of got into the range where I was like, hey, I'll take a move down and get a future first, no one wanted to do it. So I did offer first straight up in the mid-teens and just to see what happened. And I basically got no bite through a top 35 picks doing that. And I just said, screw it. I'll just sit here. I'll just sit and bang and we'll figure it out. So that was really the thing. Again, I sort of harp on that top 30 asset for future first. I kind of was sort of in the line of doing that. Waller was like basically the last one I was trying to sort of trade straight up for to do it. So, again, I made offers to move up to 101. It was a second, a third for the first and a seventh. Didn't happen. He wanted a future first. I said, no, it's fair. I did the same thing to go up to 102, 103. Didn't have that such luck. And then I was getting, hey, they would do it for, basically any move down that I wanted was going to cost me a first. So move up that I wanted to do was going to cost me a first plus a lot of stuff. And I just wasn't willing to do it. So I sat at 107. The board goes Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, Burrow, Pitts, Lamar Jackson. So I was sitting pretty. I said, I'll just take Dak Prescott. He'd be quarterback four, quarterback five, depending on sort of how you think of it. Definitely ahead of Burrow, ahead of Lamar Jackson, and ahead of everyone else behind him. So it was an easy decision for me. I made it in less than 3 minutes. After that, Jonathan Taylor comes off, Kyler, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, and Trey Lance. I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, this is great. I've got unoptimized picks sort of around here. I've got Lance. I've got Jamar Chase. I've got, the running backs going early. Pitts was very early. I understand it. It's two PPR. I understand why he went that early. But again, it's really early. Someone goes Mark Andrews on the turn. So they go Lance Andrews, which doesn't make the most sense to me. Someone follows that up and sort of that wraparound ends up being Jamar Chase and Justin Fields, which is interesting. And then the person that took Justin Jefferson came back with Russell Wilson. This is where it starts to go against me. as I was assuming mid-second, I'd get a crack at Wilson, I'd get a crack at Stafford, feel really good about it. Wilson, Stafford go 15 and 16 overall. And I was like, man. And they go quick, too. And it was like, oh, this isn't great. You know, so I figured Lawrence would be up there. I figured maybe you'd get, you know, maybe a Jalen Hurts could crack in there, or like there'd be running backs, something like that. Like, I was surprised McCaffrey hadn't gone yet. So it was very interesting in terms of where that sat. I kind of felt a little bit squeezed at the quarterback position. I was probably going to go quarterback to start, and I would have loved to have been in that range. I did recommend, it's worth noting that I did recommend to take Watson in the mid-second if you had the chance. I got there at quarterback 12, and I said, I think there's a chance that he actually falls a little bit, and can I move down from a guy like Lawrence, and will someone come up for Lawrence? You know, will they give me a future first? And I moved down a couple of rounds. That, there was no bite on that. I tried to use the Lawrence spot to go back up and trade it for Josh Allen, trade it for Patrick Mahomes, trade it for Herbert. You know, basically do the deal I tried to do pre-draft, essentially revisit it and say, hey, listen, like, this is a really good outcome for this pick. Do you want it now? Still, the answer was no. No one. I was surprised at the lack of interest in Trevor Lawrence, and you know, so that I just sat there and I sort of kicked it around the group chat and said, you know, what do we think? And people had said, you recommended it, you probably should do it, and they're right. You know, it didn't mean it felt awesome, but there wasn't anyone else I was really going to take. You know, it would have been, you know, going too early on Rodgers at that point. And that's really, I mean, it was a break. And the problem is if I didn't go there, I wasn't going to be inside the line at quarterback. So it's the only shot I had on a Supermax guy. And I knew kind of if I wanted that strategy to work, I was going to have to take Watson at that spot. I kind of knew that coming in. And I wasn't maybe emotionally prepared enough to make that decision. I mean, this is obviously before the Watson news comes down. But listen, I think I got a round of discount on it. I really do. I think it's a mid-first round valuation, ultimately. And I got a round of discount on it. So it was fine. I was surprised that basically there's no tight ends off. And they go basically from 201 all the way out to 307 is the next one, and it's Kittle. And I'm just staring Kittle right in the face, and I'm like, this is awesome. I was like, I'll take Kittle. This is great. I would have Kittle, and then Kelsey, and then Waller after that. And I said, I'll take Kittle, and let's see what happens. Maybe another round goes off. Listen, this draft is not reacting to the tight end premium at the pace that I would think they would. Let's see what happens. Again, now I've got the two quarterbacks checked off the box. Let's attack the tight ends and see what happens. So I go Kittle. A whole other round goes by. There's one pick there. There's a ton of wide receivers, basically, of that third round. 9 of the 12 picks are wide receivers. We get back into the fourth round. Some runs on running backs as well in this sort of range. You've got Treylon Burks in here as well, DJ Moore in that range, Stephon Diggs. So a bunch of wide receivers, basically, of those 15 or so picks into the third, into the fourth round. 12 of them are wide receivers, and then you get Hockenson off the board in the early fourth, followed by Tua. So someone had paired Aaron Rodgers with Tua, and that was behind Jonathan Taylor and Najee Harris. So if you're just thinking about team building construction, you've got to be right on Tua. You can't really miss on Tua there. And if he doesn't give you that jolt, you're kind of frittering away a lot of that early that early action that you did. I wonder if Cousins for that team would have been more interesting, or even Derek Carr, for example, might have been more interesting there than Tua at that spot, just in terms of a team build. So anyways, coming back towards me, mid-fourth, it's Hockenson, it's Tua, and then it comes back to me, and it's Kelsey. And I was like, this is great. Look at this. I'm just knocking down my targets, right? Knocking down the two quarterbacks. I got two tight ends inside the Goddard line, two tight ends way inside the Goddard line with Kittle and Kelsey. It is worth noting at this point that the Kelsey decision has to shape my team, right? In a way that there's a handful of players every year that really need to tilt your access, right? And Kelsey's playing at such a high level that he really can make you competitive. He and a couple other guys and a bunch of role players can make you a true contender. But once you go that route, you kind of have to chase down that championship early, right? Because you know it. He's 32, he'll be 33. You know, we talked about there was some signs of regression already, or some signs of decline. And I am not picking him here because I think I'm going to get a tight end one finish. I'm picking him because I think he could be a top five guy, right? Maybe if I get a couple years out of that, something like that, it's a good production. I mean, he still has tight end one in his range of outcome, but I don't necessarily need that to happen, but I need, I need some high production, top five type finish, top three type finish, and really lean into that right now in this contending window for him. So I do need that to make those decisions. I'll get to why I sort of really emphasize that here in a minute. I go down a little bit further. Waller goes later in the round. Again, I was trying to sort of get into that range to try and take Waller. And I was going to go Kittle, Kelsey, Waller. I was unable to do so. But then I get out into the fifth round, and I said, this is really a decision point for me. And there wasn't a ton at wide receiver that I necessarily loved. Diggs had gone off in the fourth. So by the time I get to the fifth, like DJ Moore was gone as well. And I was kind of looking at it, and I was like, there's a lot of sameness. And there's a couple of spots in here that aren't the same. And I said, one of them is Goddard. And it seems a little early for Goddard. It's tight end seven. And I'd be the first person with, I was the first person with two. I was definitely going to be the first person with three. I was going to take three of the top seven tight ends. Again, two PPR. These guys are going to start for me every week. Kittle, Kelsey, and Goddard. And the best part about this is, too, is it kind of insulates a little bit of the risk of Kelsey. I got some additional upside shot on Goddard. I've talked at length about why I think he's a good upside bet this year. And going forward, you know, it's really just a volume thing at this point with him. And so I wanted to take that shot, and I got to take that shot. What I think is interesting is at this point I go from really being – I'm going to have to pivot at this point, really. And I'm going to have to say, all right, I'm probably not going to be able to do my plan of getting a wide receiver and two running backs. And I'm probably going to have to sacrifice one of the positions. What is that going to be? And we'll get into that a little bit later. It ends up being wide receiver. But I do know at this point, right, there's only so much that I can do. However, I think that this is justified through this point. I can sort of pick holes at stuff that I do later on and be mad at myself. But already some of the stuff has changed. So we'll sort of get there. And I think maybe the harshness that I have with how some of this turns out later on I should probably relax a little bit. Because, again, I've solved big issues. I've got three of the top seven tight ends. I've got two top five quarterbacks. Again, that alone can take you a long distance. You can screw up a lot of other things and still get by with that level of stuff. If I have success there, like, it's going to be a really hard time for people to get around. Pat Freiermuth goes right after Goddard, so people started chasing a little bit. Fant and Gesicki go off. It becomes like there's a while. The first tight end for one team is actually Trey McBride. He follows that up with Ertz. Another one is the first tight end is Jalen Widmeyer. And then he goes Brevin Jordan, Logan Thomas, Isaiah Likely, Austin Hooper later on. So he did sort of go at the tight end position, but a little bit differently. Like I said, Evan Engram was the tight end one for somebody. Dalton Schultz, the tight end one for somebody else. And then someone went Hunter Henry, Irv Smith in like the 9th and 10th round. That's 15 and 16 overall. No one has – there's one other person that has two top 10 guys. That's Fant Gesicki. You know, and there's, I guess, a couple guys that have two top 16 guys. Someone's got Andrews and Knox. Again, Hunter Henry and Irv Smith. Hockenson and Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet up to tight end 13, by the way, which is interesting. So I have staked a claim in terms of being aggressive at the position. Aggressive, too, in the sense of I am strong at quarterback and strong at tight end. And you look at some of these teams, like, I think when you just gauge this top part of the draft, what are you competing against? Well, let's just run down sort of through five rounds who I'm competing against. Lance and Sam Howell is one quarterback group. Justin Fields and Matt Corral is another one. And then you got Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins. That's pretty good. That team's pretty good. They've got a lot of – it's built similar to me with a less of an emphasis on tight end. I would say so. They're in a very contending window. Kyler Murray and Stafford, right? So that's good. Aaron Rodgers and Tua, we'll see on the Tua aspect. Then it's my team, Lamar and Trevor Lawrence. Some questions there in terms of that. Malik Willis, Mac Jones, that's probably not a contending team. As well, Devontae Smith, Garrett Wilson, some other guys in there as well. So that's probably not a contending team. So that's really the third team of the 12 that I look at and I'm like, hey, probably not the way that this is built. It's probably not a year one rival of mine. Burrow and Hurts, that's a good build. Waller's in there as well. So that's definitely, I think, appropriately calibrated, if you will. Herbert, Zach Wilson. There's a lot of rookies on that team as well. You look Drake London, Kenneth Walker as well, Chris Olave. Those are 6th, 7th, and 8th round picks, respectively. You're really going to need to get that right. That's a team with Evan Engram. You're really going to need to get that right. And Zach Wilson's got to be the right answer there. Otherwise, you're in trouble, right? It's already three, maybe four teams not necessarily contending have serious concerns at really quarterback that might make contending hard. Someone has Mahomes and Carr, that's good. And then Allen and nobody else. So all of a sudden, like when I start going and looking at these and I start looking at some of the builds on these, this is very much a you're in a spot where it's me and really maybe seven or eight other teams really competing, right? And the rest of the teams aren't. Or it's still early yet, but they're not really appropriately calibrated towards winning this year. And can things change? Absolutely. But as I sort of look at this, I'm already saying, okay, I'm in the business of being a winner this year. I'm in the business of contending. That's not to say I'm going to just ship picks out and take every possible, you know, fill-in starter here by shipping off all my picks, but I have to sort of keep that in mind. Get to that in a second. Going to the 6th round, again, I said, hey, can I nab two or three guys inside of the Aaron Jones line? I accomplished that with David Montgomery at running back 19 in the 6th round. That's behind Elijah Mitchell. There's a big run on running back sort of in the middle part of that round. So, and it's a lot of wide receivers who kind of blend in. It's Godwin, it's McLaurin. You're getting some of the rookies in there as well. So again, I like shooting at a broad target with Montgomery. If he's healthy, I think he's a pretty good player. Next round is round 7. And this is the one where I say, I don't know, if I could go back and do it all over again, I'm not sure I would have made this pick with the knowledge that I have now. But with the knowledge that I had at the time, I needed to insulate against I definitely needed to insulate against a Watson suspension. In hindsight, if I knew what I knew now, I would probably do it with Brady. I would probably have done it with Brady, but I didn't. That would be a Brady range. He ends up going in like the 20th round or something like that. I probably should have went earlier on him, but didn't. That's a mistake. But I go Ryan Tannehill, quarterback 24. You know, I think perfectly a serviceable quarterback two, and the, you know, finishes between 13 and 24 type range. Right? Perfectly suitable for that. I feel I don't have a lot of Ryan Tannehill, but having him, I'm okay. Right? I know I'm not just lighting Kelce on fire. And I'm not lighting my Kelce shares on fire. I am in a contending window. If something goes wrong with Prescott, if something goes wrong with Watson, if there's a long-term suspension, I didn't know at that point if Watson was going to be criminally charged. But I have an insulation piece against that. I've got Tannehill. Feels like a solid B type grade of the pick, right? Could it have been better? Could I pick someone? You know, would it have been Brady in hindsight? If I knew, obviously I would have taken Brady there. And that would have been the ideal insulation to a Watson situation. But I like Tannehill fine enough, and he can eat innings for me in that range if I have problems. It's fine. Eighth round comes around, and again, this is the Aaron Jones line. Am I going to get inside the Aaron Jones line? Zeke goes in front. Actually, AJ Dillon goes in front. Running back 26, it's Aaron Jones. I take him. Like, let's do this thing. So I come out of the top eight rounds, three quarterbacks, two running backs, three tight ends. I didn't suspect three tight ends. I suspected two, probably a wide receiver in there as well. Maybe one less running back. No wide receiver and a couple, three tight ends, three tight ends, three quarterbacks and two running backs, no wide receiver in there. Would have liked to have had one. In hindsight, I would have went one. Would it have been the Aaron Jones spot? Amari Cooper's available in there. It was pre-Amari Cooper trade. Mike Evans, I was hoping to get in the ninth round. That was really what my plan was. He was in the 30s. That did not come to fruition. I really, as I said at the Aaron Jones pick, I said things will have to go bad for me for this really not to work out. And it really did. Like, the next 12 picks or so really were not great for me. I was hoping Hopkins would fall. He didn't. I was hoping Evans would fall. He didn't. They went right in front of me. Amari Cooper would have been fine. All the guys went. So I end up coming back in the ninth round. I take Tyler Lockett. In the 10th round, I take Michael Thomas. And then in the 11th round, I actually take Christian Watson, the wide receiver from North Dakota State. This was during the combine that this happened. He had a really good combine. I saw PFF vaulted him up into the first round of their mock draft stuff. I figured at the price of it was 208 rookie pick equivalency. So he would have been, firmly in the later part of the second round of rookie picks. And I said, listen, if I have a shot at getting some round one equity out of this pick, yeah, I might not necessarily stand tall on this, but that's probably a movable chess piece at some point along the line. And he may not even see my week one roster if he were to sort of land that high. We'll be able to pivot. But I thought, listen, there's some flexibility there. And we know, with his profile, like, he's probably going to be a day two guy at worst. And I can kind of gauge from that spot. It's like, hey, I've got to find sort of a sell window here with this guy. I got to sort of know that in the next 6 months, my goal is to sell him for a profit, to use him for a contending asset. It's fine. Again, this looks a little atypical in terms of you're building present assets with maybe non-producing assets at the present, more value-based stuff, more asset-type stuff. But this was a shot that I think there's some upside here in terms of both value and production. Fournette had gone right in front of me, it's worth noting. Connor went right after, which was, I could have pivoted there. And went Connor. I wasn't sure on the free agency stuff, and Connor then signs a nice deal after this, and goes off the board. So maybe in hindsight, I would have went Connor. But again, I like the Watson play at 208 in the rookie draft as an equivalency. The next batch of picks was now I'm into the 12th round. Albert O. And it's interesting because at 12:04 is when the Russell Wilson trade was announced. And 12:04 then becomes Courtland Sutton at wide receiver 51. I think that's an appropriate decision. I later found out that he was also debating Albert O. And again, that was when the fat news had come to fruition. So we knew that. It goes Courtland Sutton. Someone steps in between Courtland Sutton and Albert O and actually takes Jared Goff. And so then I take Albert O. It's worth noting that I didn't receive any trade down offers at any point during this draft, with the exception of one pick, and that was Albert O. So I am going to be in the business of potentially moving him. I'm not sure I waited too long, but I do think there's going to be a sell, a nice buzz on him. And, you know, can I get a first at some point? Right, that would be an ideal goal. I think that there's enough teams sort of in the business of Albert O in that draft that I can sort of reapproach them and maybe make an upgrade. You know, certainly. So that, again, it's a luxury at this point, but I like the bet. Especially from a value perspective. And I think he's an okay player. Next pickup is actually Jordan Love. And Mitchell Trubisky had gone off. It's worth noting he would have been sort of in my range of thought processes here. The reason I go Jordan Love is there's some signal that maybe Jordan Love was going to get traded. I think that is still possible. There was some talk that it was going to be to Indianapolis. And I said, listen, if I could sort of, how do I hit from here with you know, and not just hit, but get a double? How do I slug here instead of just, you know, being a slap singles hitter? What's a good slugging percentage type play? I thought, listen, if Jordan Love becomes something, this is kind of like the Mitchell Trubisky bet that the Steelers made. If Jordan Love becomes something, I really have something here. If he doesn't, I miss, right, guys going in this range like Chuba Hubbard, you know, DJ Shark, for example. You know, Carson Strong, right? Michael Gallup, right? We're in the 50s at wide receiver. How do I sort of hit big? Right? And Jordan Love, maybe he's not any good, but maybe he gets an opportunity and can actually do something with it and turns into some value. Again, having quarterbacks in Superflex is nice because you can potentially, if there's value movements, you can address it. You can pivot. When you have quarterbacks, when you don't, much harder to do. So that's really the thought process there. Again, I think the most likely outcome is he's not a successful quarterback. But again, I think the most likely outcome for a lot of the guys in this range is that they're not successful picks. Joku ends up going tight end 21 a little bit later on. That's the Evan Ingram range as well. I should have been a little bit more aggressive in terms of Gronkowski probably in this range too. That was one that I missed. It's worth noting that about this time that some of the stuff was going on that I was in the midst of, I was in and out of my stomach bug. So I wasn't properly optimized sort of in this range, which takes a little bit of a beating. I still like the situation. Again, I would have probably gone Gronkowski earlier, would sort of be my thought. I liked OJ Howard as well. And I started to chase wide receiver a little bit, which I think was a mistake. As much as you could sort of talk yourself into don't chase need right now, like you start getting behind and you feel the obligation to kind of catch up. So you kind of double down on it. And like Gronkowski probably could have helped me out somewhere along the line addressing issues like that. So that's the one thing that I sort of look back and think maybe I kick myself a little bit for doing. But then it's Rondale Moore in the 14th round. Again, I think Rondale Moore is going to be an interesting uptick guy. And again, as I'm sort of putting this together, all right, how does Rondale Moore become, you know, from wide receiver 58, how does he maybe go up higher and becomes a potential pivot to someone that's a difference maker, right? A guy like Brandon Cook's already off the board, but how do I maybe get him, you know, turn him and Albert O into, you know, a wide receiver two type, right? Maybe him, you know, those two guys into Keenan Allen, right? For something like that. Like, that's kind of the pivot that I'm thinking about making from guys in this range. Next pickup is 15. I'm not going to go pick by pick all the way down here, but this is really the range where there's some, I think, some substance to the picks. Will Fuller. Let's take a massive swing. Again, this is like the Jordan Love, Albert O swing, Christian Watson swing. How do we make a big difference from this range? Well, let's pick a guy that can make a huge difference in short sample sizes. Again, at this point, I knew that Lockett was a little bit counterfeit in terms of being a wide receiver one on paper for me. I sort of need to backfill that and need to attack that. Will Fuller is a good example of how to do that. Listen, if he's right, he can be an impactful player week to week, and we'll see sort of what that is on a season long basis. But I'll take that swing. Cordarrelle Patterson as well in the 16th. Chris Carson in the 17th at running back 59. I don't even know if he's going to play. I think he's aiming at coming back. Again, I probably could have taken Gronkowski in this range, and obviously that would have been. If he comes back, I think Gronkowski can make a bigger difference probably than a guy like Carson, but he went before my Carson pick. So we'll see there. That's probably the mistake. You know, maybe I should have taken a shot on Brady a little bit earlier in here as well. I end up going Jarvis Landry. Again, now I'm sort of figuring out a variety of different ways. I said to myself in this, like, if I'm going to go wide receiver, this is really like the last spot that I'm going to go. You know, and one of the things that I looked at was just put the guys on paper, points per route run, and let's just see what they are career-wise versus everyone else around them. And there's two guys that really stick out. I ended up snagging them both at caught. At their cost, they both stuck out, which is Jarvis Landry and Julio Jones. And that was pre-Julio getting cut. Again, it's Julio's like in the 22nd round, so if he's never anything again, like, that's okay. You know, and this was actually pre the back Braxton Berrios research that I had discovered, which I would have liked to have taken another shot on, but I missed him because I wasn't sort of abreast of that that research already when I made that. He went at 80 wide receiver 87. I like that sort of value. To take that kind of swing, that's 89 was where I took Julio. So, you know, I'm taking a big swing with the hope that we can make some sort of difference there. And again, if I can make a difference from Fuller or Landry or Julio, I'm probably fixing an issue up in my starting wide receiver spot. So that's really the optimized thing there. I take Jacob Harris, Grant Calcaterra as well later on in the 20s as running backs, excuse me, as tight ends, just developmental guys. My running backs, I go 16 through 20 first round. I take five of them. So of those six rounds, I take five. Patterson, Chris Carson, Price Davis, the rookie, Jamal Williams, and then Sony Michel, who's running back 75 by way of reference, Mike Davis, running back 91, and the nominal starting running back for the Houston Texans at running back 92, Rex Burkhead. I also take Deontay Harris later on, you know, with the hope that maybe Deshaun Watson was going to land there, and it didn't turn out. So that's really the overall takeaway on the board here in terms of what the stuff that I did. I'm behind at wide receiver. I have ways to address it. Pivots from Rondale Moore for sure. Listen, Fuller Landry gets a job as a wide receiver too. I'm fine. Julio Jones gets a job as a wide receiver too. I'm fine. You know, I think someone from that group has got to end up in Green Bay, and I think if that's the case, feeling okay. Maybe a couple of them do, and they clash, whatever. They have to address the position, and those are the types of people that they are able to address it with right now. So we'll see how that rolls. Heck, Lockett could be there later on in the offseason. So yeah, I mean, I think I got some shots. Listen, if I'm going to be weak at a spot, I'd rather be weak at wide receiver than any of the other spots, especially tight end or quarterback, because I can eat up roster spots, rostering running backs. And listen, I can trade for wide receivers. I can trade for wide receiver help if it becomes necessary. I can trade from depth at tight end. I can trade from depth at wide receiver, right? And just sort of pivot the types of profiles that I'm making. I think the fixing the wide receiver situation is one of the easier things to do in Dynasty. I think it's a fixable issue. And so that's something that I'm constantly sort of keeping in mind. Is it perfect? No. Ideally slotted is Lockett a 3 and Michael Thomas is a 4. Yeah, probably. But listen, no one is going to roll out Goddard as a second flex in this format, right? The consequence of doing that is I've got to deal with Lockett and Michael Thomas as being my 1 and 2 in 2021, right? Or 2022 rather. That's the consequence, right? That's the trade-off. And listen, there's just too much of an upside shot on Aaron Jones at running back 26 to go a receiver there, right? So again, I can kick myself and say like, all right, now I'm like in this business and I chased it too much. Again, I wasn't playing with a full deck at that point. So I missed some critical opportunities as well. Joku, Gronkowski. But listen, it's early in the calendar. I'm going to do more. I learned from some mistakes. I think ultimately, if I went back again, maybe I probably skip Aaron Jones. But it's tough to say because like it would be, again, I'm being critical of myself here, but I'd probably have gone Mike Evans. And then am I going Mike Evans because I really like Mike Evans, or am I going Mike Evans because of roster construction? Am I going, I'm sort of in my head again at that decision. Maybe I even ultimately pull the trigger on Aaron Jones again there anyways and say, all right, listen, I don't think I'm going to get burned. And listen, if Hopkins had fallen one more spot, I'd feel fine. I really would. But he didn't. And then I had to sort of press the issue a little bit and a little bit unoptimized. So that's the takeaway. Again, I'm not going to kick my, if I'm going to go Jim Carrey and liar, liar, I'm not going to kick my own ass. But I think I missed some opportunities there along the line. And some of that was chasing wide receiver with just trying to take multiple bets. But we'll see. I think I'm in a good shape, and if I need to pivot to wide receivers, I can do so. I've got a bunch of guys that I think can be contributing running backs, so we're fine there. Some partial contributors as well, and I'll just sort of clog up some space with Montgomery and Aaron Jones. I think both of them can get me a top 10 finish if they're healthy, especially Aaron Jones. I think he's got a lot of receiving work that he will be doing this year. So ultimately, contending in 2022, I put myself there. If Kittle, Kelsey, and Goddard stay healthy and Watson's not suspended, I'm going to be probably kicking some serious tail in this league and really ready to go. Obviously, if you hit on your top 5 picks, you're going to be doing pretty good. But that's kind of what I'm looking for, right? Give me 2 of those guys that perform well. Let's get a minimal timeout from Watson with a little luck, fingers crossed. Otherwise, Tannehill can fill in. And I'm off to the races, right? And maybe I get an Alberto, Rondale Moore sort of uptick, and I've got another asset that I can use. Ultimately, I look at it too as I've got 5 stars, in tight end premium. I've got 4 stars. I've got 2 supermax. I got 2 stars in terms of Kittle, Kelsey. I've got Goddard as well, as he's a core. Let me just see. I have the stuff all tracked here in terms of my team. I've got 2 supermax guys, 2 stars in the tight ends, 1 core guy, and that would be 4 stars or better. And then that's really the crux of the team, right? And that's the that's really the thing for me that I'm pretty excited about is I have 4 stars or better. And then, depending on how you identify the core in the tight end premium, I would have Goddard. I would also have, if I had gotten Hopkins, I'd have Hopkins. I just missed him. But I have Montgomery as a core guy and then Tannehill with a core guy. So really 7 core or better. I feel really good about that. And I think I'm in a pretty good spot to contend. I've got a lot of optionality. And listen, this could be a situation where, if Watson's back, I could pivot off of any of my quarterback options, have some depth. I could potentially move around to tight end. And listen, if it doesn't work out, I can maybe pivot off a guy like Kelce here early on in the season and extract some value. So pretty optimistic about how it's going. I'm fully intent on competing and winning with some potential flip guys here going forward. So that'll pretty much do it. I hope that helps. I'm going to optimize. Hopefully the next time that I draft, I will not be quite as sick as I was when this one happened, and I will not miss some of the mid-round opportunities like Gronkowski that I would suggest that you take, you know, into the 20s, for example, at the position. So that'll pretty much do it for this edition. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.